Praise God. Praise God. I want you to turn to, we're going to begin here in the Psalms this morning. I want you to turn to Psalm 133:1. And let me know when you're there. Just holler. Amen. Psalm 133:1.
Amen.
Amen. And it goes like this: Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. And this is what we're doing this morning. We are gathered together, the body of Christ, and we're dwelling together. We are in agreement together. We are in one mind and one accord. One mind and one accord. And we're doing it in unity. This is a community right here. Beacon of Light Church is a community of believers that are united. Amen. Because we love God. Love is the center of it all. Jesus is the reason why we are gathered together today. Amen. And this is a very short psalm, as you can see, but it carries such a powerful message in these verses. And this psalm, if you have a Bible that has a little notation on top, it says it is one of the songs of ascents, meaning that it's a song that was sung by worshipers as they journeyed up into Jerusalem, right, to worship the temple that Solomon had built. And as they traveled from different tribes, they traveled from different regions and backgrounds, they lifted their voices together in unity. In unity. So you could only imagine, it's found in many different verses of the Bible, in the New as well as the Old, that people came together and sang, God is good and his mercy endures forever. God is good and his mercy endures forever. And just picture these people just traveling, right, to Jerusalem, singing this unto the Lord. And we know that Jerusalem was built on a series of mountains. And these Israelites were directing their attention and their prayers to the temple that was located on Mount Zion. Amen. But this scripture is not saying, right, that there was a special place, right? That there was some special presence of God in those hills. No, it's making reference of the temple at Jerusalem where there was a special presence of God. Remember, there was an appointed man that built the tabernacle of the Lord. There was an appointed man that built the temple of God, and that was Solomon. He was the one called to build the temple, the first, the most beautiful temple that has ever been built in the world. It was the temple of Jerusalem that was built by Solomon. And today, church, today, we are the temple of the living God. God's presence is abiding in us, in the inside of us. He is around us. He is all over us. We don't have to direct our prayers toward a special place. We don't have to look up to heaven, amen, in prayer. God's temple, his glory, his presence abides in the inside of us. For all of us that have received the Lord. And the word of God says that the Lord is always with us.
Amen.
And today we direct our prayers toward God, towards him.
Amen.
And today this psalm is reminding us that unity, it's not just something we say. It's not just something that's nice. No, unity among the brethren, unity at Beacon of Light Church, unity at any other church, it is necessary. It is vital for the church to be in unity. So this psalm begins to say, behold how good. Yes, because unity, it's good. The word behold means pay attention. Behold, unity is something we must intentionally notice and value. So it's not something you do one day and not the other. It's not something maybe today we come in unity, next Sunday we're not gonna show up, right? We're not gonna be united with the church. No, it's something that you have to intentionally do. This morning, you intentionally purposed to be here today, this morning. Hopefully because you want to hear the word of God. You don't want to hear me. You want to hear what the Lord has to say through me. It's not about me, it's about the Lord. I'm not here because of me. I'm here because of God. I'm not here because of me. I'm here because of you. God has placed a calling, a unique calling on my life to share his word, to share the good news. So unity is good because why? Why is unity so good? Because it reflects the heart of God. Unity is good because it reflects the heart of the Father. It strengthens the church. And it defeats division. And even better than that, it releases spiritual power. When people come together, like the word says, when two or more gather together in my name, there is power. When two or more gather in my name in prayer, amen? Amen. When two or more gather together in my name in prayer, God, the word says, God is in the midst. And whatever we ask of God, he will bring it to pass. This is why prayer is so important. Just two people gather together, there's power. The word of God says, one can send 1,000 to fight, but two people can send 10,000 to flight. Come on, there is power in numbers. And what the enemy tries to do week after week is bring division. Bring division among the brethren. Bring division within the church, outside the church, within our families. We've all been through that. We've all had family members that for whatever reason, they got offended and they just stopped talking to us. Mm-hmm. How childish is that when the Lord clearly says in his word, God is not a God of division. He is a God of love, a God of unity, and love should cover a multitude of divisions. If you purpose to intentionally love on your brother, your sister, or whoever it is, there's no reason why there should be strife among brothers and sisters, among families. No reason at all. And trust me, I've been there. I've been there. Mm-hmm. I've been there. I've separated myself from people, and people have separated themselves from me. That's not God. That shouldn't be. Yes, there are instances where God will tell you, hey, I separate them for a reason. Because if they remain with you, they will hinder your walk and the calling that I have placed on your life. There's exceptions. And we have to welcome what the Lord says, because I got to obey what God says. But to have this unity within the church, that is not good. And that does not come from God. So we have to, whatever it takes, we have to come together, come to understanding, talk it out, communicate, because God loves when the brethren come together in unity. And we have to be intentional about it.
Amen.
And when the church walks in unity, it reflects the prayer that the Lord Jesus did in the Gospel of John 17:21. And I want you to turn there. Look, this is one of the prayers, right, that the Lord Jesus did to God the Father before he went away. Amen. Before he died. So the Gospel of John 17:21, one of the prayers that the Lord Jesus did was this, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, right? That the world may believe that you sent me. Amen. Our unity, church, represents Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Our unity represents that we are one with God, that we are one with love. And the world will know that we are of God by the oneness that we, together as a church, we manifest to each other. And it's no wonder why we haven't seen a bigger impact on the world. Jesus was praying that all believers would be one as he and the Father are one. So this goes far beyond what many promote as unity today. Paul, the Apostle Paul, besought the Corinthians to all speak the same, that there be no division among them, that they would be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And you can read that in 1 Corinthians 1:10. So this is God's will for us to be together in unity, in harmony, in one mind, and in one accord. That's God's desire. And this is God's standard of unity, the oneness among believers, among us. And the oneness that we have among us is what the Lord Jesus said would cause the world to know that Jesus is the Son of God. I mean, we are his witnesses. We have testimonies. We have the good news. We carry the Lord's yes. We said yes to him. So unity, church, is good because it aligns us with heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Let heaven have its way. Let the Lord's perfect will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. Amen. So church, unity is good. We go back to Psalm 133:1. It says how good and how pleasant. So that means unity is pleasant. Unity is not only spiritually right, but it feels right. Like when we're united right now, it just feels so good to be together. It feels like we're doing the right thing. It feels like God is well pleased. We just, Lord, I just want to please you. So I choose to come into the service. I choose to be united with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I choose to worship together with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I choose to abide in your presence. I choose, Lord, to be a witness to you. I choose unity over division. I choose peace over chaos. I choose unity. And where there is unity, where there is unity, church, worship flows freely when there's unity. Amen. Have you noticed that? That worship flows freely. Why? Because we are in one mind, in one accord, worshiping the Lord in this place. Amen. Together. Like-minded. Church, when there's unity, communication is healthy. When we can communicate with one another, and maybe share some differences, because we both choose not to be divided, not to be in strife, not to be in confusion, not to be in chaos, not to be in misunderstanding, then unity results in our communication being healthy. I don't know about you, but I want a healthy church. I want a church that communicates with one another. That when you feel like maybe I failed you, well, bring it up to me. Let's talk about it. Let's communicate. Nothing happens without communication. We can't have an intimate relationship with God if we're not communicating with Him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right.
Does anybody disagree here? We cannot have a healthy and intimate relationship with God if there's no communication, if there's only one party talking. No, two people. You got to go to the source. There's been so many misunderstandings within the body of Christ. Misunderstandings, meaning that we can bring in communication and change that to understanding, spiritual understanding, physical understanding. And church forgiveness should be practiced within the church. That's part of loving God. If He forgave you, how can we not forgive our brothers and sisters? Forgiveness is there, and it's not for the other person, it's for you. You got to release it. Why? Because God wants you at peace. God wants you to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And when there is chaos, confusion, misunderstanding, which is what the enemy loves to bring inside the church, then communication becomes unhealthy. And strife is present. We can't have that. We can't have that. Amen?
Amen.
Unity is pleasant, the Lord says. So where there is unity, forgiveness should be practiced. And love is visible. You know, right now we're loving on one another here. This is what God requires. This is His word. I'm not just saying this. This is the Lord's word. You're reading it from Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when the brethren gather together. I'm not saying this for saying it. I'm saying this because it's the word. And when I was in the mission trip, there was so much unity. All 34 people were united. We were all in one mind and in one accord. The worship just flowed. Communication was healthy. People were praying for one another. We saw miracles, signs, and wonders. The Spirit of the Lord was just moving from one person to the next, to the next, to the next. The anointing of the Lord was so present, and His glory just took over and manifested throughout the whole trip. Amen.
Amen.
And I believe this is why the Lord had me, you know, just bring this message. I want my church to be united just like you were.
Amen.
During the mission trip with my leaders, with the other students. There was three campuses there. And we didn't know the other people in the other campuses, but the unity, the love of God was present.
Amen.
Was present. And God showed off. God showed off. We have more than 96 salvations. We ministered to over 1,200 people. Hundreds of people received the spirit of the baptism of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. They spoke in a new language. Amen. We saw the signs, miracles, and wonders throughout this trip. I saw it firsthand. Amen. And this is what the Lord wants. He wants unity within this body, within Beacon of Light Church. Because when there is division, church, the joy gets strained. The vision gets delayed. And the progress becomes hindered. Amen? And God has called us to do some mighty things in this temple, inside and outside the temple.
Amen, amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So we got to press. We got to press towards the mark. Press towards the goal. Not stop. Just keep moving. Keep going. In unity.
Yes.
In unity, in one mind, in one accord, because unity creates an atmosphere where people want to stay, grow, and serve. Amen?
Amen.
And God has called each and every one of us. We've been here since the beginning for some of us. Amen? And we're not staying stale. I know I'm not. I'm reading the Word. I attend Bible studies. Amen. I'm serving the Lord in many different capacities. You may not see me serving the Lord, but I'm serving the Lord in many different capacities. Amen. And for some of us here, your ministry is your home, because you're taking care of your families. Ministry starts at home. Amen. And for some of you, as grandparents, your ministry is your home. Amen. Because God has given you a responsibility. Amen?
Amen.
And some churches have it all mixed up. They say, well, you know, God always comes first, but then you gotta do ministry, and then family comes third. No, that is the wrong order. No, it is God always first. God is always first in our lives, right? Seek first the kingdom of God. God is always first. But then family comes second, and ministry comes third. And we cannot get that twisted, because God is very much involved with our families.
Yes, amen.
Very much involved. Amen. We are the amen. Vessels. We are the beacon of light within our families. When there's someone sick, you as a beacon of light, lay hands on the sick, and you will see them recover in Jesus' name. Amen. Unity.
Amen.
Unity. We the ones that change the atmosphere. When we go into a dark place, guess what? The light that's radiating from us, the light of the Lord that radiates out of us, will overcome darkness very quickly. Very quickly. And people who have one foot in and one foot out, they get very uncomfortable when the light of Christ comes in. The enemy runs. You don't understand. The enemy is more afraid of you than anything else. Because when he sees you, he sees the Lord. We've been sealed. He sees the light. Amen. Remember Lucifer was a believer at one point. He was a worshiper. Amen. But then he wanted that power. He wanted God's power. Nobody can take the Lord's power. Amen.
Amen.
The Word of God says, be holy, for I am holy. It doesn't say be God, for I am God. No, it says be holy, for I am holy. That means be holy. Amen. Consecrate yourself, separate yourself from the world. Because God is holy. Amen. So holy in that sentence means, no, we need to walk in holiness. We need to walk separated from the world. God has already consecrated us. Amen. He has purified us. He has cleansed us. We are born again. Our spirit is born again. Now we are in the image of Christ. We have his character. We have everything. We have the Lord living in the inside of us. We have Christ Jesus, the hope of glory, living in the inside of us. And the Word of God says that as he is, so are we in this world.
Yes.
So we can walk in holiness. because we've been separated and consecrated for the work of the Lord. We're talking about unity. Unity changes the atmosphere that we're in. Unity requires effort. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalm 133 is saying that unity requires effort. Because it doesn't say that unity happens automatically. It says it is good when brethren dwell together in unity. That means that you have to intentionally want to be in unity with other brothers and sisters within the body of Christ. That you want to dwell together. That you want to worship together. You want to pray together. You want to study together. Unity. And what does dwelling mean? Here it says, for brethren to dwell together, a dwelling place. Unity, dwelling means staying committed. For brethren to stay committed together, amen, in unity. Meaning we got to be in one mind and in one accord. The other day I spoke about vision, amen. The vision that the Lord has for Beacon of Light. We have to remain together. We have to be committed to one another because we're building together this temple, this house of the Lord, this sanctuary, amen, that will house other people to hear the word of God, that will house other people to be freed, that will house other people to receive salvation, healing, restoration, and deliverance. This is what it's all about. It's about making an impact on others. Dwelling means working through differences. We spoke about this. Misunderstanding. How are we going to fix it? We work together in love through our differences. We clarify the misunderstandings. We communicate. We talk it out. And dwelling means choosing love over offense. You see, it's a choice. You want to stay offended or you rather walk in love? Well, I choose love all the time. I choose God. You know, one of my professors says, told us, and I think I shared this with you the other day, that this year I am committed to be unoffendable, meaning that she's not going to allow anything to offend her. And I'm like, you know what? Yep. There ain't nothing you can do to offend me. The Lord was offended. You're going to be offended. But what you do with that offense is a whole different part. And I'm going to choose to love. I choose to love. I choose to communicate understanding. I choose to get out of that strife. And if the other person chooses not to love, that's on them. That's not on me. If the other person in your life chooses not to love and wants to remain offended, that's between them and God. That's not on you. Amen? Because we know better. We choose love. Right? Can I get an amen here? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, this is... We're talking about God's united church. Amen? There's way too many churches that have come down, that have closed down due to division, due to the brethren not exercising love, amen, due to misunderstandings. People leave, they leave hurt. But yet if they would be willing to communicate, maybe that hurt will turn into forgiveness. Amen?
Amen.
Because there's always two sides to the story, and there's God's truth, right?
Yeah.
So, again, dwelling means putting the mission above personal preference. Again, it's not about you, man. It's not about us. It's about the Lord. What is the Lord trying to do within Beacon of Light Church? What is the Lord trying to do in our community where we're going to serve? Unity is not uniformity. We don't have to think alike or to walk alike. Amen. We can come to an agreement and to agree to disagree. And disagreeing is okay, as long as we don't offend one another, right? We can disagree. That's okay. It's okay to disagree. Hey, listen, me and my brother Michael, we don't agree on the tithe. And that's okay. But we choose to love one another. We choose to agree to disagree. And that's okay. Because I love my brother and I know he loves me. And that's okay. Let God work in me. Let God work in him. That's okay. Amen. So we choose. The early church, right, in the book of Acts, in 2:1, it says that they all came in one accord, and they all came together in one place. And when they were united, the Holy Spirit fell on them. Amen. We go to the book of Acts. Let's read it for ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. I hope you're getting something out of this teaching. Amen. I know I am. Amen. Remember, God will minister this the word to me first, so I can just release it. Amen. And I witnessed Psalm 133 last week. I'm a witness. Amen. 2:1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all, not some. It says they were all with one accord in one place. Amen. And we know that Pentecost was 50 days after the Lord's resurrection. Jesus, the Lord, was taken up to heaven 40 days after his resurrection, right? And then the disciple had to tarry. The Lord told him, wait, just wait 10 days, right? He said, just wait in the temple, right? Wait. So the disciples had tarried for the Holy Spirit for 10 days after the Lord told them to remain in Jerusalem and wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And I'm here to tell that one of the reasons, big reasons, that the power of God is not more manifest in the church today is because we're not of one accord and in one place. And unity among believers is not a prerequisite of revival, nor is it merely a result of revival. It is such a vital part of revival. It is an integral part of revival, without which the great outpouring of God's Spirit that all believers long for will not come. So we need to be in unity in order to see the miracles, signs, and wonders. The people on the mission trip, they were all united, one mind, one accord, devoted to God, meditated on the word of God. They came together. They worked together. We prayed for people. I translated for many, many, many of the students and interpreted their English prayers into Spanish so that the people could understand what they were being prayed for. Amen. So I had an integral part of the revival that I witnessed in Mexico.
Amen.
It was so rewarding. I was overjoyed. I can't even explain it. It made such an impact on my life that week. We just came together and we just allowed the Holy Spirit, Lord, whatever you want, we're here to do it. We're vessels. We said yes to the Lord before we left for the trip. He says, whatever you want, send us, Lord God. And the Lord sent us. He sent us in unity. He sent us with one mind. He sent us all together to one place. Amen. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit just flooded wherever we were. Amen.
Amen.
Power follows unity. I want to say that again. Power follows unity. We saw the Holy Spirit power of God just touching people's, touching lives, transforming lives, people receiving healing, salvations, restoration, deliverance. We saw it all. From the children to the eldest, youth that came together and got saved, youth that didn't know the Lord.
Amen.
Unity brings anointing and blessing also. Amen. Look at what it says in the verses that follow Psalm 133:1. Let's read it. Let's go to Psalm 133:2-3. Because, again, unity brings anointing and blessing. Psalm 133:2 says, "It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments."
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The oil, the anointing oil, the anointing of the Lord. This is a picture of the anointing of God. So unity among brethren, the church, the body of Christ, releases the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. In contrast, division and discord hinder the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember when the Holy Spirit came in power on the day of Pentecost, the apostles and other believers were all in one place and in one accord, as we just read before. So when they were together, when they were united, the power of the Lord fell on them. Amen. And I witnessed the power of the Lord fall when we were together in one mind, one accord. We would pray every single morning. We would do a devotion every single morning before we were sent out, either to the streets, to villages, or to other churches. Every morning, we got ready. Ask yourself, what would happen if the body of Christ were to be all in one mind and one accord today? I can answer that. It would be the greatest witness the world has ever seen then. Amen. Like we saw from John 17:21, that the Lord Jesus was praying that we be one, that we be one. Our brothers, we be one, just like he and the Father God was one. Amen. Look at another blessing. It says here in Psalm 133:3. When the brethren are together in unity, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. There are blessings. There are blessings that follow unity. Amen. God commands his blessing on unity among us, among the saints, amongst his daughters and sons, among his children. Amen. It's like life-giving moisture to parched land. There is an anointing that will never be attained, or that we will never attain individually. Amen. Remember, I said the other day, there is power in a corporate prayer. There is a special anointing that happens when we come together and pray together. So there is an anointing that we will never attain individually. This unity will restrain the ungodly, but the godly are strengthened and empowered through unity. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So when there is unity, there is a fresh anointing. There is a spiritual refreshing. There is a commanded blessing to come upon the saints. And that's us. That's the church. And God commands blessings where unity lives. Amen. And I'm declaring right now that we are a united church of God. We are a united church of Christ. Beacon of Light is a united church. We are in one mind and in one accord. And because of our unity, God commands blessings upon our lives, united lives. Amen.
Amen.
So in closing, I want to share, amen, that as a church, as the Beacon of Light Church, we need to protect unity. We need to protect our unity together. Amen. We should choose to refuse to gossip. If you have anything to say about anybody, amen, say good things. Amen. We need to choose to forgive quickly. If anybody has offended us or we've made an offense, we need to choose to forgive quickly. Communicate quickly. Amen.
Amen.
We need to celebrate one another. Listen, I want to celebrate your accomplishments. Celebrate mine. I want to celebrate you, and I want to celebrate your children, your grandchildren, whatever it is. I choose to celebrate you because you're my brother and sister in Christ. And that's what unity does. It chooses to celebrate one another. And we got to keep the main thing being the main thing. This is not about us. This is about the Lord. This is about building his kingdom. This is about impacting lives. There are thousands of people in the Shirley area that are hopeless. There are thousands of people in the state of New York that are hopeless. There are thousands of people in the USA that are hopeless. They don't know the Lord. They don't see a bright light. They never felt the love of God. They feel God is a punisher. And so many other things I can say. And again, I'm going to say it again. Unity doesn't mean that we won't disagree. It means that we refuse to divide. That's what unity is all about. Refuse to bring division. Refuse to be divided within the church. We to be in one mind and in one accord. Amen. Psalm 133:1 is not just poetic. It's behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's not just poetic. It's a principle. It is a principle from the Word of God. And when we dwell together, when we as the brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, we dwell together in unity, it is good. It is pleasant. It is powerful. And it is blessed. Amen?
Amen.
So let us be people, church. Let us be people who value unity more than ego. Who value unity more than maybe a mission more than preference, that value love more than being right. Amen. Let us be that type of people that value one another, that value the unity that Christ speaks about, not division, rather than be divided. Because the reality is, church, that when we walk in unity, when we walk together, when we walk in one mind and in one accord, heaven moves. Heaven moves. We change the atmosphere. The anointing of the Lord is present.
Amen.
We're talking about corporate unity. We're talking about the Church of Christ, Beacon of Light Church. We're talking about gathering together, being in one mind, one accord, staying connected through maybe phone calls, text messages, emails, together here on Sundays, whatever it takes. Let's walk together in unity and see the perfect will of God come here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen, church. You're blessed.
Amen.